If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark. Yes, still in Mark. Chapter 10. Start at verse 46. Mark 10, starting at 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So this story is the bookend of this inclusio, a literary sandwich we started weeks ago with the healing of the blind man. Remember the one where Jesus spit in his eyes? Okay? And so, again, I want to draw your attention to that, because as a literary, word I'm looking for, device, it's there to draw our attention to something, right? We have this, we had all this in between. What's the point? And that's what we want to get to today. Now, you all have heard of the golden rule, right? Which is, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Jesus gave it to us in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Well, they have come up with something different too, something new. You may not have heard it, but I'm going to copyright it myself, all right? Have you ever heard of the golden question and the golden answer? All right? That's what we're going to look at today, and I think you'll see why in a bit here. All right, so let's just make sure that, kind of a review here. I want to bring us into this bookend, understanding where we are. We started back in chapter 8, verse 22, in Bethsaida. Jesus had a blind man. Some friends brought the blind man to Jesus. Jesus spit into his eyes. It was kind of not clear, but getting a little bit. He spit into him again, and then I was healed. Okay? And from that bookend, we go into this series of three times when Jesus predicts his death. The disciples don't understand and get it wrong. And then Jesus teaches on what it is to be a disciple, on what it is to follow Jesus, on where what this path he is on is going to. And that's the path of the cross. And so over and over, he's showing them. So the first, he predicted his death. And what did Peter do? He said, "No, Lord, you can't do that." He rebukes Jesus. And Jesus teaches them, "No. No, Peter, you're not understanding. Take up your cross and follow me. That is the way. That is the way, the cross." Right after that, we had the transfiguration. Again, a moment where we kind of get a vision of Jesus, who he is, and they come down from that to his disciples unable to heal a paralytic, someone who's had an evil spirit, remember? And Jesus said, "Well, no, you got to pray. God, I had this one out by prayer." They didn't understand. They just didn't understand. In chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus again predicts his death, shows them the way very clearly. Again, the response from the disciples was fear, just as they were afraid. And then they get into this conversation with each other about who's the greatest. This whole idea, this stuff, "Oh, Peter, oh, maybe I am, you know, I was there, oh, hey, John," "No, no, no, I'm the greatest, no, no, you know, whatever it be." And she says, hey, what's going on? And they're immediately embarrassed by this conversation. So there's something there. But again, they didn't see. They didn't yet understand what this path was about. It's not about being the greatest. And so he teaches them. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. You will be the servant of all. You will come to me like little children. That is the way. He's told them that you don't have to be jealous of other people. Whoever's not against us is for us. We don't have to hoard our power, our influence. He warned against in our areas to tempt someone else to sin. And the dire consequences of that, of causing someone to sin. In the context of this idea of the cross, he spoke of divorce. He spoke of little children bringing to him. And then we had the poignant story of the rich young man who seemingly was understanding and yet could not let go. It's one of the saddest stories in all the Bible. And then, just last week, in chapter 10, verse 32, again, Jesus predicts his death in the clearest form yet. He said, this is going to happen. I'm going to be betrayed to the chief priests. They're going to condemn me to death. They will hand me over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. There's the path laid out, exactly what's going to be happening in these next chapters. And then what happens? James and John, sons of thunder, came to Jesus and said, we want something of you. And look at the question that Jesus asks. What do you want me to do for you? We just heard that, didn't we? And they said, we want one on your what? One on your right, one on your left. And Jesus says, you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't get it. And again, tries to show them what it is to be a disciple, what it is to follow, and that is not to be regarded as a Gentile's duty to be great, but to be a servant, to be a slave. And so all of that, okay, all that is coming now, informing and telling us what to make of this healing of this man, Bartimaeus. So what is the point? What is the point? I think it does. It comes down to a question and an answer. So let's look at the story. They coming down through Jericho. If you think about where they've been, they were, you know, up north and then been making their way down. Now, again, think about what season it is, right? We're coming into Passover, right? Jesus is making his march into Jerusalem during this holiday season. So there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people who are going to make a pilgrimage into Jerusalem. And they when they come down from the north especially, they come into Samaria, and they don't want to go through Samaria, so they take a hike east, cross over the river, come down the east side, and then 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem, they come through Jericho. And they come down into the city from there. And what's going to happen is along the way coming out of there, then all these pilgrims coming through, the poor, the blind, the crippled, are going to line up along the way. They're going to lay out their cloaks and beg, because that's all they can do. And so we have this blind man, Bartimaeus. And again, in this time, this is a pathetic situation. This is a man who had no social standing. No political power. No standing in any way. It was considered nothing. Often blamed for their own problems. Remember, who sinned? You must have sinned if you're blind, because a sign of God's blessing is all the good things, and all the bad things means that God's against you. And so you need to repent of that. It's your fault. And yet, Mark, in this story, grants the man his name, Bartimaeus. And you know what Bartimaeus means? Son of honor. the lowest of the low. The outside of the outside. Son of honor. That is significant here. So the people are passing by. Crowds following you again. By this time, at the end of 3 years or so, Jesus' name is out there. The stories are out there. And crowds are again following him as they all march again towards Jerusalem. And see, when this man Bartimaeus hears that it's Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, he cries out. What does he cry out? Son of David. Now, up to this point, Jesus has really kind of avoided that title. It has a very militaristic connotation to it. David the king, David the ruler, David the conqueror. All true for Jesus. But he's on this path, and yet, somehow, this man Bartimaeus recognizes who Jesus is, what Jesus is capable of, what Jesus can offer to him. And so he cries out, out and out and out. Now, unlike the earlier blind man being healed, there's no one there to bring him. No one there to say, yes, come and see him. They're like, Jesus probably doesn't want to be bothered. I mean, this is an important man here. Be quiet. But he cries out all the more, and Jesus hears him. In all the tumult, in all the hundreds of people around him, in all the crowds pressing him, he hears a blind man crying out to him. He hears him. And in a way that many others don't, this blind man sees Jesus. He sees him. So as he calls him, the crowd says, hey, today's your lucky day. And the picture again is of like many disciples. He jumps up, leaves his cloak. Again, now, he probably had the cloak laid out in front of him. That's where they threw the money as they went by. People just tossed it in there as they go by. He just left it. Tossed it aside. Think of the rich young man story. His inability to give up. And this man just says, I'm going. And he comes to Jesus. And here it is. What I'm calling the golden question. What do you want from me? What do you want? Folks, Jesus, this is a question that Jesus is asking us all the time. This is a question that Jesus is asking everyone you see. This is the question that Jesus is asking the entire world. What do you want from me? He's not being obtuse. He's not hiding himself. Jesus desires to be seen. He desires for us to know him. And he's asking this question, what do you want? What do you want? Now, far too often, our answers are selfish. Lord, I want power. I want status. I want money. I want possessions. I want a beautiful wife. I want a beautiful husband. I want children that are healthy and wealthy and wise. I want a nice car. I like some land where I can hunt. I want to be elected to a high political office where I can do good for you, Lord. I want. These people do not see. They do not see. And I am guilty of this. Now, there are also those who, when Jesus asks this question, what do you want from me? They say, nothing. Please, Lord. Nothing. Stay away. That's what I would like. And Jesus hears them. But know, folks, know that everybody you come across, friends, family, neighbors, Jesus is asking this question of them. What do you want from me? Because we all want. In our American consumer culture, our wanters are huge. Our wanters are necessary for our economy to keep going. We want. There's something in all of us we want, and Jesus is trying to drill down to what that real desire is. And so we ask the question, what do you want from me? And our answers tell us where our heart is. And so we come to the golden answer. I want to see. And that is the answer Jesus is seeking from all of us, from everyone. Oh, that we could pray to Jesus, I want to see. Oh, that we could pray for our friends and family and neighbors. Lord, help them to see. This is a great prayer. This is a powerful prayer. Over and over and over again in these last weeks, in this sandwich that we're seeing between these two healings, we're seeing the crowds, disciples, leaders, important people miss it completely over and over again because they don't see. And the ones who do see are the ones that we would say are least likely to see. This is the way. And so Jesus, when he hears this prayer, says, oh, yes. Your faith has healed you. And it was immediate. Again, just sometimes we blow by some of these details. Can you imagine? You've been blind your whole life. You're standing there, nothing, and then boom! You can see for the first time. It blows me away. And so does he rush back and get his cloak? No, he says, he follows Jesus. Okay, I'm following you. That is the golden answer. As we've seen over and over again, it's faith, that bit of faith of understanding who Jesus is. Maybe not completely, maybe not totally, but enough that Jesus can work with it. Again, what does Jesus say? Faith is as a mustard seed. It's not about the amount of faith. It's about the faith person that you're giving it to. And he sees. Now again, I do not believe it's an accident. As we look to understand what Jesus, what God is communicating to us in this section. This idea of seeing is literal for this man and figurative for us. This is the picture. This is what we've seen all along. He wants them to see. Please, he wants these people to see. He wants his disciples to see. So what is it about this prayer that is important? One, see, we want to see Jesus. That's it, right? To see him, to understand him, to know him, to see who he is, what he offers, what he's doing for us. It is seeing Jesus on the path of the cross and not as some a giver of influence. Again, James and John had that harsh lesson. It's not self-promoting. It's not selfish. It's not seeking power. It's not seeking influence. It's about sacrifice and love and looking to the margins and helping those on the outside. It is a prayer, a question for ourselves that we could see. Once we see that Jesus and the path he's on, and we can, by God's Spirit, see ourselves and our need. The world needs Jesus. It may sound trite, but the answer to those questions, those deep questions, questions of longing, of significance, of desire, the answer is Jesus. The answer is to see him. It is the place of confession. When God reveals that we are not right with him, but we can be. Oh Lord, I want to see. And it is how we see others. Again, this is a great prayer. If you're wondering what to pray for your family, this week I was just kind of inspired by it. So I prayed for my family. I said, Lord, help Emma and James and John, Josiah and Sherry, help them to see more and more and more. Maybe like the blind man in the first part, right? Where it's kind of unclear a little bit. And just pray, God, can you just make that a little clearer for them? They would see you and see that path you're on and want that more than anything. That's a powerful prayer. For my neighbors, my friends, Lord, help them to see. For my family that are across wherever, help them to see. For our town, our communities, our county, Lord, help people to see. Help them to see and then to follow. This is evangelism, right? I mean, you can knock it down to, you know, four schools of laws or a Romans road or how are we, but really what you're asking for is that people would see. And notice, again, this prayer is not a necessarily an intellectual assent. That's what's powerful about it. I've seen too many people in my 40 years now of being a Christian and then 30 or so of being in really an active ministry of people who say some words because they're afraid of going to hell or because they were just brought up in this tradition, and they'll say these words of, I believe in something, and they don't see. And if you don't see, the words don't mean anything. If you don't see. Or if you're not trying to see. If you don't want to see. I see people, yeah, they really don't want to see, but they want to kind of have an insurance policy in their back pocket just in case. No. We need to be eyes wide open to see the path that Jesus is asking us to be on. And that is the way of the cross. That is the golden answer that Jesus is seeking from us. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, prays what I think is a powerful prayer for these people. And I want to close up our time here now with that prayer. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. And around verse 15 or so. So this is our prayer for today. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Oh Lord, this prayer, I pray, would be true for us. Help us to see you. Lord God, help us to see the riches that are in you, the great power that is in you. And Lord, may we answer in that golden answer to your call. What would you have from me? Lord, I want to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go with God this week.